In a world filled with big sports companies and high-end production podcasts, comes a group of guys who paid $5 for this intro. Welcome to Eat, Sleep, Fantasy.
I'm in my zone, no lie. And we like to play till the sun go down. Yeah, we like to play till the sun go down. Then we take that town, then we take that town.
All right, everyone, welcome back to a much better version of the Eat Sleep Fantasy Football podcast because your lovely host, Christian Brito, is back. Yeah. God damn it, Dale. Also with me tonight is your other host, Mr. Dale DeMott. What's up, Dale?
The host with the most is what they call me.
The most what? Most losses?
Yeah. The most fantasy leagues without a playoff hope.
Most venereal diseases.
There you go.
Whoa. Probably shouldn't have said that.
Anyways, let's get on with the show.
Let's get it on. How about that?
This already went downhill. I feel like we should record another intro.
Nope. Speaking of stuff going downhill, how come every time I'm off the podcast, you guys use that as like open season for making fun of me? What do you think? I'm not going to reply to it? Like what?
Well, half of it is I kind of was hoping that you weren't going to listen anyways. There was a good chance that you weren't going to listen. You probably didn't listen to like the meat and potatoes of the episode, I'm guessing. And yeah, and then the other half is just you're always on, so we never have a chance to rip you behind your back, and that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, so. You know, I feel like Julius Caesar here, at Too Brute, like you're supposed to be the guy that props me up. Anyways... Point is, I only listened to the beginning of the show because you told me, hey, check out the intro, right? And it was funny, right? Armando was funny. I listened to the first 2 minutes. You guys mentioned me there. I skipped all the way to the end of the podcast, last 3 minutes.
Skip all the analysis. I understand that.
Skipped all the analysis. I'm only here for the fun.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't give any of the analysis anyways, which we're going to talk about something about that in just a second. But then again, at the end, you guys make fun of me.
And you could, your feelings aren't hurt, are they?
No, well, little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Only because it's getting like personal now. It's getting repetitive.
Yeah, I guess and that's then, what hurts. Like, you're like,
and then I got people coming to me. I got people coming to me today, telling me, and I don't know if this is, man. I really don't know if it's in reference to me or not. Probably not. We're probably making a big deal out of absolutely nothing. But I think Matthew Berry hates me. I don't know. Explain. I don't have a better way to say that.
Explain.
Pretty sure he called me a moron on his podcast. And I don't know how to deal with that, right? Because a lot of us people...
If he did, you should be honored. I'm honored that I am your co-host, and he called my co-host a moron.
I'm not.
I think it's great. I think it's great for our podcast. Too bad he didn't mention our name. I don't know if that would have been bad or good. If he was, who knows? It's pretty crazy. You know, we're just a kind of a... All right. I don't know what you'd call us, independent podcast.
Let me explain, okay? Because a lot of us people that play fantasy football, we started out listening to Matthew Berry and Nate Ravitz. And he called Nate Ravitz a moron plenty of times, so I guess maybe it's not a terrible thing. Because, I mean, those are people that I respect in this field. I don't want to get too salty about it.
You shouldn't be.
A lot of people have disagreements in fantasy. Of course. And... Again, the guy that maybe I was defending was Isaiah Crowell, but I guess I'll defend them just again, even though I don't really want to defend somebody on the Cleveland Browns, but I feel like there's a need at this point to do so.
Hold on, let me back up really quick. I don't know if you're going to say it or not.
All right, really quick, say what happened. Yeah, okay. I was going to get there, but
Yeah, fuck okay, you. Sorry. Okay, so Matthew Berry, if you don't know who he is, you're probably living under a rock. If you like him or hate him, whatever, you know, it is what it is. You know, he's a huge voice in the fantasy football community.
He's the king of fantasy football. He has a podcast on ESPN, Fantasy Focus. If you haven't heard of him, it's because you haven't been playing fantasy long enough.
Yeah, right. Even just to come across his articles or, you know, whatever on TV and all that stuff. Anyways.
He also wrote for Crocodile Dundee 2 or 3 or something like that.
Right. So anyways, he mentioned a podcast in one of the recent episodes where he said there's some podcasts and this moron was saying that Isaiah Crowell is a top 20 running back. And they kind of, you know, gagged on him a little bit, I guess.
A little bit. They got hurtful at that point.
Repeatedly called whoever called Isaiah Crowell a top 20 a complete moron, and you know, it went on for a couple of minutes. Anyways, we're convinced because we're big-headed and we think the world revolves around us. Think that he's talking about Christian, referencing Christian in a couple weeks ago, talking about Isaiah Crowell.
So it was brought to me like, hey, I think Matthew Berry's talking about you.
Right, right.
Like I used to, back in the day, listen to this podcast, their podcast, religiously, back when it was Nate and Pod Vader. I know they've switched it up a little bit, but it was a great. I'm sure they're still great now. But I was shown the little piece, and it could be me. It could be some other moron.
There's a lot of morons out there, let's face it, especially in fantasy analysis. We're pretty much all morons.
And we're no exception to that. I mean, we're playing a game, right?
Of course.
We're having fun. And right. I'm sure a lot of people gave Matthew Berry a lot of heat for a lot of his calls throughout the years. You know, Michael Vick, cough, cough. But, Cordarrelle Patterson, cough, cough. But, I mean, we could do that, too. I've had a lot of hits and misses in just this season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't think Isaiah Crowell is one of them. I drafted Isaiah Crowell as, like, my last bench spot in every single one of my leagues. I have Isaiah Crowell. And he's been exactly what I need him to be, which is a serviceable running back. If he scores, he's good. He has scored 5 times this season. All 5 of those games, of course, have been double-digit games. He's been startable in every single one of those. The other times, it's been very hit or miss, but he's been decent out of your starting, out of your RB2 or a flex position. You can't demand too much more than the RB18 on the season, who's actually caught more passes than people, really think of Isaiah Crowell, because people think Duke Johnson in that backfield. I mean, Duke Johnson is 3rd in the league in receiving yards, but Isaiah Crowell is 13th. He's not that far behind. He's right behind Ezekiel Elliott. He's 9 yards behind Ezekiel Elliott. He's ahead of guys like Devonta Freeman, Mark Ingram, Chris Thompson, Bilal Powell, guys that are actually receiving backs. Isaiah Crowell has more receiving yards than them. Yeah. He's actually doing okay in that field, along with his 5 touchdowns, along with being serviceable. You can't ask for much more of an RB2. He's what Frank Gore was last year. It's not great. But if you have David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell or Ezekiel Elliott or DeMarco Murray, and you're comfortable as hell with your RB1, you can roll out Isaiah Crowell in what Matthew Berry himself has often called the easiest position to fill in fantasy football, which is the RB2 slot. Guys that you can pick up off the waiver wire, plug in. He's not going to be great. He's going to plod his way to a top 20 running back, but that's exactly what he is, a top 20 running back.
Yeah. I mean, he's 18th among fantasy running backs, non-PPR, and he's...
On NFL, you're looking on ESPN, I'm sure. NFL.com, he's 16th.
Okay, all right.
In their standard scoring format. He's number 16. He's 91% owned. He should be 100% owned because you can put him in. He's not... I mean, I heard their description. He's unplayable. I totally disagree. What did he do this past week, right? I mean, we're talking about... Even in a loss, he had 6 passes. So factoring into PPR, he wasn't great, right? He had, what was it? Let me do the math real quick. 91 total yards with a fumble. But you add 6 passes to that. That's a pretty decent day. He's start worthy in these leagues. As an RB2, give me that. That's perfectly fine. Like, he's Frank Gore. Like, that's who he fucking is. It's not great. I hate that type of running back. I hate that I have to defend him. But you can't say he's not a top 20 running back when that's exactly what he is.
Right.
It's that's what fantasy football has become. He's not a top 20 running back 5-10 years ago, but in 2016, that's exactly the piece of shit running back that you get. He's Todd Gurley. That's what he is. And as much as you might want to defend Todd Gurley because he's super talented, he's better than Todd Gurley this year.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that he plays on a losing team, he's a running back that plays on a team that's down most of the game.
He plays on one of the worst teams of all time, so people are going to discredit him.
Yeah,
it's one of the worst teams of all time. It's a laughingstock. They've had 5 different starting quarterbacks. It's a joke.
Right.
But he is fantasy relevant. He's fantasy startable in a pinch. He's fantasy flex worthy. He's not a terrible running back. He will finish at the end of the season a top 20 running back, exactly like Frank Gore did last year. Probably in the last few games, he'll have another couple touchdowns, you know. But we'll see how his schedule pans out. I don't want to spend more time on this. I don't want to be salty either. I respect Matthew Berry and all these done fantasy football, and we're going to have a disagreement if he's talking about us.
Yeah, chances are he's not. Your blood pressure just rose by like 20 points, and he's not even talking about us.
Why you guys keep talking about my blood pressure, man? I'm fat, but my blood pressure's fine.
That's okay. That's okay. It just you get worked up. I mean, in the last 5 games, he hasn't been great, right? I mean, he's the 29th best running back in the last 5 games because he hasn't scored a ton. He's had 1 touchdown. But still, I mean, over the season, he's very serviceable, like you said. I agree with everything you said there. I mean, there's 20 guys that I'd probably feel more comfortable starting than Isaiah Crowell.
Okay, that's fair.
But it doesn't mean that Isaiah Crowell is not a top 20 talent and a fantasy player. Does it? Am I contradicting myself here?
No, it's just fine. You very well may have better players. I mean, if you're reaching the fantasy playoffs, you probably do have better players on your roster. You probably did draft a number of guys late, and you're okay. You don't have to play Isaiah Crowell, but he's the type of guy that you can play in a pinch. I mean, you'll be just fine.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. Okay, so that was a. That was a fun few minutes there.
All right, Dale, I want to go the other end on a guy that that I think I have called right and continues. After he had one big game, people were in and out on this guy, but I think it's been consistent enough that I can toot my own horn on this one. Devontae Adams has continued to impress in his role in Green Bay. He's now the wide receiver number 7.
That's crazy.
On the season.
That's crazy. It's fun watching him, man. It's fun watching him and Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't seem like Jordy Nelson is much of a read, does it, for Aaron Rodgers?
No, but Jordy Nelson's been fine, too. This has basically come at the cost of Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
More than Jordy Nelson, because Jordy Nelson's number 5 on the season. And while he is not himself. Jordy is not himself. He's still getting a ton of yards just based on the fact that Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's throwing the ball more than he ever has in his entire career. I mean, I think the best thing that could have happened for fantasy Aaron Rodgers is the injury to Eddie Lacy, because that offense is not the same.
Yeah.
And their defense sucks.
It does. Sorry, that's an understatement. It's pretty
bad. Their defense sucks, like really bad. So, I mean, Devontae Adams has been the number one benefactor of that, and he is your quintessential post-hype sleeper, the phrase that I've been using to describe him all year. Everybody was in on him last year. He stunk. He's not a one. He can't play in that role, but now that Aaron Rodgers is forced to throw the ball a lot and Jordy's back, Devontae Adams is going to pan out for a lot of people this year.
Are you trusting him more than Michael Thomas?
Oh, Michael Thomas. I mean, you can love Michael Thomas too. He's become, it's hard to say, he's become just as good as Brandon Cooks. I know Brandon Cooks just put up a donut.
Yeah, this of course. Past so, week. What have you done for me recently?
Right,
for sure.
But that they're 1-1 in that offense, and Michael Thomas is going to be a very high pick next year.
Yeah.
He and Brandon Cooks are going to share that offense, and Michael Thomas, deservedly so, should finish the year as a top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah, he's 8 right now. So
you can rail on that if you want. He's 10 in NFL. You can rail on that if you want. I should stop saying numbers because then people will pinpoint and be like, I finished 11.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a pick, I think I'd pick Michael Thomas. I just think I'm talking about Thomas over Cooks, I think, rest of the season.
I thought you were talking about Adams. No. I
would take Adams over Thomas.
He probably will finish ahead of both, I think. It's pretty close between, I mean, all those guys in points.
Yeah.
Not a huge difference.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about 11 points separates Devontae Adams, Brandon Cooks, and Michael Thomas is smack dab in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Listen, man, all three will be just fine rest of season. Michael Thomas is a better version of Marcus Colston.
It seems that way, definitely. I mean, we've been talking about the Colston comparison. I think a lot of people have for a few weeks now. He's good, man.
And he's basically soaked up any production that people could have wanted out of the tight end position in the New Orleans offense. So, unfortunately for Colby Fleener owners, Michael Thomas is doing everything that you had hoped for him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. That middle of the field, big target guy. That's gonna
deal. Yeah. So, we just spent like 15, 20 minutes ranting on stuff. At least it was fantasy football relevant this time.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. Now that my blood pressure is coming down, because apparently that's the fucking joke that we're going to stick with, why don't we actually help our listeners instead of me being angry?
Okay.
And let's start getting people ready for the fantasy playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Playoffs.
All right, so let's kick us off here, Dale.
Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to kind of take a look. Of course, we're going to talk about fantasy playoffs. We're talking about week 14 through 16, right? Hopefully, if you're listening to our podcast, you have that bye in week 14 that a lot of the first and second place guys get in most fantasy leagues. But if not, we're going to kind of break down. We're not going to talk about the David Johnsons and Le'Veon Bells. I think that's all kind of – that's kind of obvious, right? I want to break down some of the players that have either good or bad schedules and what to do about them, and just get your opinion, Brito, and I can kind of fill in when you get lost. So the first guy that really pops out to me, he has a pretty
good... Before we do that, I purposely waited to do that.
Thanks.
Did you just assume I'm going to get lost?
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks. Right. Appreciate that.
The first guy that jumps out to me,
honey, can you take my blood pressure real quick? I'm spiking.
He's had a pretty good season. Okay, here, can we play a game? I'll kind of give you clues and you tell me who I'm talking about. He was a great waiver wire pickup mid-season.
My wife is actually replying as if I was. Oh god, this is great podcasting.
Are we playing this game or not?
My wife just yelled back and said yes.
All right, so
and
this
now
guy.
She's opening the door. Oh, I jokingly said something for the podcast. I don't actually need you to take my blood pressure.
I love See, you. She's scared for you, man.
Yeah, she had a very concerned look on her face. Some guy from ESPN thinks I'm a moron. Hold on, let's get my wife on the podcast real quick. Come here, honey. Come here, honey.
No, this is bad.
Come here.
It's gonna
be
bad.
Yeah. We're gonna get you on the podcast real quick. Can you just come
listeners,
here and say hi?
I'm sorry.
She's shaking her head. No, just come. We're already committed.
Hi guys.
No, I need you to give your opinion real quick.
Okay.
Some guy from ESPN called me a moron on his podcast. What do you have to say about that?
That he's stupid.
Come here and say that.
Jesus.
That he's stupid.
You heard it here first, folks. Priscilla Monsa, EC Fantasy. Put that on the scroll. Yeah, he really did call me a moron. If it was me. That's
not
nice.
We're not really sure, though.
The other guy, I have his book, though. Probably shouldn't have spent those $10.
No, that was good money well spent. All right.
I'm not offended. I probably am a moron when it comes to fitness. So don't shake your head. No, this is perfectly fine. My wife is genuinely feeling bad for me. And Dale's like, yeah, we got mentioned on ESPN.
We didn't really get a mention. Again, we don't know if he was talking about
us. That's true. Maybe at least say the name of our show, man, yeah. If you're going to dog us.
Yeah, exactly.
You still get some. I mean, we don't have the ESPN platform. Although if we did, I think we'd do okay.
I think we'd, well, yeah, obviously.
Although, right. We wouldn't be able to, like,
no.
Suck on our own dicks and stuff.
No.
We'd have to keep it clean because it's Disney.
Yeah.
This is not a family-friendly show.
No.
And in case we haven't made that clear, I don't want to curse. Never mind.
All right.
Wasn't feeling it there. Felt so forced.
Yeah. Can we play some fantasy football?
Yeah, we play fantasy football every week. What's up, Dale? All
right.
Was there a game or something you wanted to play?
About 10 minutes ago, yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's do that. I'm sorry.
Okay. This guy, he was a waiver wire pickup midseason. Once his O-line got somewhat healthy, he was playing great. Had a couple 200-yard games in a row.
Okay, you don't have to keep going.
Okay. Jay Ajayi is a
little... Oh, is that who it was?
Yeah. Is a little concerning to me. He plays Baltimore week 13, which is coming up. He plays Arizona. Not a great matchup. Actually, a pretty harsh one. And then he ends a fantasy season with the Jets and the Bills. With their banged-up O-line, doesn't seem like they're going to be healthy immediately, at least not for the next game or two. Are you concerned at all, and is Jay Ajayi going to be that number one running back we thought he was a few weeks ago?
I think he's still a low-end RB1. That's the way I've been ranking him, absolutely. I think he still is. And he will... Even against in bad games, I think the Dolphins' offense has kind of shifted towards running through him a little bit. So he'll still get scores. I mean, it'll probably look just like it did this past week, where you're not super impressed, right? He only had 56 total yards, but when you add a touchdown to that, 11.6 points, that's nothing to scoff at. Like, it's not, that's a top, you know, 15 running back performance, and rest of season he should be just fine.
Okay. I mean,
I know it's not great matchups. I'd be very hesitant with him against Baltimore. That's the one team that I'm not comfortable. This might bite me in the ass, but with the banged up O-line, like you said, not comfortable with him against the number one rush defense in the NFL, allowing the fewest fantasy points per game to running backs. Not feeling Jay Ajayi this week, but after that, I mean it's fine. You've got Arizona, New York, and Buffalo. Those aren't crazy bad matchups. I'm okay there.
No, I mean, he had 200 yards against Buffalo last time they played.
Fully healthy O-line, though.
Yeah, exactly. And then when he played the Jets, he had over 100 yards. But, you know, last game against the really great matchup with the 49ers, that O-line showed that they cannot carry Ajayi, 2.5 yards a carry. He did score, but it's not good enough against the 49ers.
Right.
Their
O-line is the key to their offense and Jay Ajayi.
Okay.
It's not necessarily that Ajayi is a super talented running back and that's why he's doing all this. When the Dolphins' offensive line is healthy, they're top three O-lines in the NFL.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference when they have Albert, Pouncey, and Tunsil, those three pieces all healthy at once.
Yeah, exactly. And all three of them are unhealthy all at once. So, really, really temper your expectations, you know, against the Ravens D, giving up the fewest fantasy points to running backs. That defensive line is super strong, too. I think JJ is going to get pushed around a little bit. But, you know, beyond that, let's hope he can get through that first round against Arizona. You got an okay matchup, but again, like you said, this O-line is the key to his success, so.
No, Arizona, just to chime in, it's another bad matchup.
Yeah, of course.
The good ones are the Bills and the Jets, which really aren't that good either. Like, these are all teams that are what you would say bad matchups. Although Jets and Bills are right in the middle, but Arizona's right there with not right there with Baltimore, but almost as good against the run.
Yeah.
So two bad matchups in a row where you might be hesitant and need to temper your expectations with the Giants. The good thing, like you mentioned, is for a lot of fantasy playoff teams, that's their RB2.
Yep. Okay. Got another guy. He's pretty interesting here. He hasn't done much in the last couple weeks, but Spencer Ware.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy who was hit or miss all season, came on strong a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. Had a really good run. His playoff schedule is looking pretty good. He does play Denver in the Super Bowl week, which is week 16.
His next 2 weeks, let me correct you here. His next 2 weeks are amazing. Like, if you need to get into the playoffs and then win your first round, Spencer Ware's the guy to go.
Oh, yeah.
With Atlanta and Oakland, these 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. The Tennessee is not a bad matchup.
Right.
But Denver, I mean, even Denver's run defense isn't, you know, top of the line.
No, they've actually been bottom half.
Right.
They allow more fantasy points to running backs than you would think.
Yeah.
They're really good against the pass. But against the run, I mean, they're allowing 19.2 fantasy points per game.
Yeah. I mean, Spencer Ware got nearly 100 total yards against Denver last week. I don't see it being much different in the Super Bowl week. Maybe he scores, right. And it'll really help you out. So Spencer Ware, I think, is an okay matchup coming up into the fantasy playoffs here. You do agree with that, right?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Dale, I got a name for you here, and my turn to talk. I like talking.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's why we have a show.
Sure.
How do you feel?
All right, that's enough. go ahead. Sorry.
How do you feel about one Mr. Kenneth Dixon?
Yeah, we just tweeted, actually. It is Tuesday night. Kenneth Dixon actually out-snapped Terrence West for the first time last week. And I tweeted immediately, you know, I expect the scales to continue to lean in Dixon's favor. I think if he's somehow on your waiver wire now, pick him up for the playoffs. He's just going to get more and more valuable. How much faith do I have in the running game of the Ravens? Not much, but a decent running back, you know, on a team that has to run the ball somewhat. I think he has value.
I am going to agree with that. I mean, he's got Pitts in the championship week, which I think by that point, he will be the starting running back for the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know if that's crazy or not. Is that like a hot take?
No, I agree with you. I mean, I knew. We've been talking for the past couple of weeks that Terrence West was on his way out.
Yeah. So he's a guy there that I think is available in a lot of leagues, and you can pick up, and he can be serviceable down the stretch.
Yeah, even in Dynasty or Keeper leagues, obviously, I mean, this is something that you should probably already been thinking about. Pretty good value, you know, for next year as well.
And Dale, here, I'm going to bring up the guy that we disagree on.
Ooh, okay.
And I think we should each give our take here, because for me, a guy who will be a top 10 running back in the fantasy playoffs, and we have vehemently disagreed on, is Jeremy Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Hill so far this season has been Isaiah Crowell. He's been if he scores, you're happy. If he doesn't score, it's middling or bad for the most part.
Yeah.
But if you look at his totals, he has not been terrible. He's right now the RB number 19 in standard leagues. And with the loss of Giovanni Bernard and the loss of AJ Green, he is the option in that offense, along with Tyler Eifert. The offense is going to run through him. And I think evident no more by the fact that he actually got 6 receptions this past week when the game was over. I mean, they were down to the Ravens from the get-go, and they had to pass. And he caught 6 passes, 61 yards, more than he's had all season, probably, you know, one of the best receiving games of his career. Jeremy Hill is going to be great. Now, let me give you his schedule, because we need to look at schedule, right?
Sure.
In his fantasy playoffs, week 14, he's got the Cleveland Browns. You think that's a good matchup?
Yeah.
All right, number two in terms of most fantasy points allowed to running backs.
Sure.
So I like that one.
Yeah, I do too.
He follows that up with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's great. Great
number
matchup.
Four in terms of fantasy points allowed to running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you follow that up with a defense that typically has been pretty good against the run, except for this year, the Houston Texans, who are allowing the ninth most fantasy points to running backs. Factor that in with the fact that he is always going to get his 12 to 20 carries. I mean, in a heavy game, he'll get 20 carries. In a low game, he'll get 12 if they're getting blown the hell out.
Right.
He's catching the passes now. He's got a great schedule. He's been a top 20 running back already on what I deem is a crappy season. Jeremy Hill in the fantasy playoffs will be a top 10 running back.
Yeah. Here's my hang up. All season, past 12 games, he's only had two games that he averaged more than 4 yards per carry.
Okay.
I think that's alarming.
I mean, Melvin Gordon did that for the whole first half of the season and was the number one fucking running back.
Yeah, but the Chargers were getting opportunities in the red zone.
Fair.
The Bengals are not.
Okay.
On top of that, in the last four games, he hasn't gotten over 4 yards per carry. He's only gotten two touchdowns in the last four games. And then, you know, just looking at his trend, I think, is going down over the season. Yeah, he's number 19, I think. But over the past 5 weeks, he's number 24. And over the last 3 weeks, he's number 26 or 27.
Okay.
So just the downward trend, I'm not excited about. I think, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say he's not serviceable. Obviously, he's the number one guy. He's pretty much the only guy he has to worry about. Rex Burkhead, right. You know, taking any kind of, you know, opportunity away from, which I don't think, you know, I think just a change of pace, getting him a breather type role is where Rex is heading towards. So, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say Hill's unplayable. I think he has a good schedule. You mentioned you think he's going to be a top 10. I'll disagree with that.
Okay.
You want to make a neat bet?
Yep, weeks 14 through 16. Top 10 feels so gross, though.
It does. Right, he has a good schedule, which, you know, that trend could turn around, but...
Would you go top 12 on this bet?
12 gives him too much room.
11.
I'll take 11.
All right. That is an eat bet. Jeremy Hill will be a top 11 running back from weeks 14 to 16 of your fantasy football playoffs. That's an eat bet.
That's an eat bet.
You're going to eat lightning and you're going to crap thunder.
Eat bet.
Nom, 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 oh, nom, 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 nom.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that was a pretty good conversation there. I think I'm not sure I even convinced myself.
Yeah, I'm not convinced either, because he's been bad. It's just, you got to factor in so much in fantasy football.
Yeah.
The player, the team,
yep.
The schedule, the offense, and the opportunity. I'm sorry, I knew I was missing one.
Yeah.
And the opportunity. And those are the things that I have to factor in every single week when it comes to my rankings. More often than not, those numbers will pan out and be okay. But every so often, like, one of those things will break wrong, right? So the team may be bad that week, and so you're screwed. Or the opportunity's not there for some reason or another, and you're screwed with what your predictions was. But if you focus on all of that as a whole, the team, the offense, the opportunity, the player, skill, and all that, look at the picture. I think the only thing lacking is Hill's skill, but the... And he's not that bad.
No, he's not. He's not.
I think he's a better running back than Isaiah Crowell is.
Yeah.
I think he's on a better team. I think he has more opportunity. And I think his schedule is amazing.
Yeah.
So I think he'll take a bump from being a number 19 running back. Whether that's a top 11 guy, still yet to see. But I think it's such a juicy schedule that I have to make that bet. And I'm willing to play him even though he hasn't been great as of late, I'm willing to play him in the fantasy playoffs and roll the dice and be okay with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he has a third easiest schedule among running backs. So it's favorable for him for sure. We'll see how it plays out.
All right. So do we, can we shift the conversation now to wide receivers?
Yeah, sure. Really quick, Jay Ajayi has the second worst schedule for running backs. I just want to mention that. Among the others that have a pretty bad schedule, Robert Kelly, Thomas Rawls, Devontae Booker have pretty bad schedules. So just be aware there. But we can move on to wide receivers now. I'll give you a couple names here with favorable schedules. You tell me what you think. Tyrell Williams, San Diego Chargers have a great wide receiver schedule coming up. Your thoughts on Tyrell Williams and I guess the entire San Diego offense?
Tyrell Williams, now the number 16 wide receiver on the season. When he had his first big week, one of our followers, I think you remember her name, called me the Tyrell Williams Whisperer.
Yeah, who was that? I don't remember. I don't remember her name.
Is it Ricky?
Ricky. Yeah, Ricky. Ricky. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, ever since then, he's had two poor games, but he's had 5 pretty good ones. And so now we're looking at a guy who's the number 16 fantasy wide receiver. Yeah, he put up a couple duds, but both of those duds were against the Denver Broncos.
Right.
Every other game since that point has been double-digit fantasy points at least in standard scoring.
Yep.
Every other one of those games has had at least 100 yards or a touchdown.
Yeah.
He's been great.
Yeah, his playoff schedule is Carolina, Oakland, and Cleveland. Cleveland is a Super Bowl
and he's got Tampa Bay this week.
Yep, yep. You know, speaking of San Diego, of course, Melvin Gordon has Cleveland in his Super Bowl week too. So you're looking good there if you rode Melvin Gordon throughout the season. You're in good shape there.
Tyrell Williams, number 16 wide receiver in fantasy right now, up until this point in the season, and I think he has a chance at finishing even higher than that.
Oh, for sure. I 100% agree with you.
I mean, there's some great names ahead of him, but I mean, he's going to pass like AJ Green. But I mean, he's got a great schedule. Like rest of season, Tyrell Williams or Michael Crabtree? Because I might take Tyrell Williams. I'm actually going to take Tyrell Williams. Give me the 1 for Drew Brees as opposed to the 1B for Derek Carr. I'm sorry, did I say Drew Brees?
Yes, you did, yeah.
At least I caught it quickly for Philip Rivers. Yeah. What is this, 10 years ago? What the fuck?
Yeah, no, you know, that's going to be pretty close because I think the Raiders have a pretty good schedule too. The Raiders have the 8th best schedule for wide receivers.
I'm barely old enough to remember Drew Brees play for the Chargers.
Yeah, I think I would take Travis Benjamin too. Not by much, though.
Did you say Travis Benjamin? We are terrible at this.
Tyrell Williams, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God, we are just mixing up people's names.
They get what I'm, they smell what we're cooking. Don't worry about it.
Okay, Rock.
I would like
to personally apologize to Tyrell Williams, Travis Benjamin, and Drew Brees and Philip Rivers.
If they're great,
now so you're taking Williams over Crabtree as well, rest of season.
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would. Just the schedule alone.
Let's pause here, Dale. We need to play a game.
Okay.
Let's play a little this or that.
Ooh.
All right. So this or that is a little game we play. I'm just basically going to give you a name, Tyrell Williams.
Okay.
You're going to tell him whether you rather have him rest of season and for the fantasy playoffs than the other guy.
Okay.
So, Tyrell Williams, and you just answered Michael Crabtree, so you'd rather have Williams?
I think so, yeah.
All right. So let's go a little interesting here. Tyrell Williams or Rishard Matthews? I'm going to give you some very tough ones here.
I love the way Rishard Matthews is playing. We talked about him on Sunday too, you know, privately. Matthews is getting it done, but I still got to go. I still got to go Williams.
If I told you preseason, those are two top 17 wide receivers.
Crazy, right?
You wouldn't believe me.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. All right, so you're going.
I think it comes down to just trusting Phillip Rivers over Mariota.
You're going Williams, and I will give the slight edge to Williams as well.
Okay.
All right. Here's another tough. Like, I'm having a tough time answering these myself.
Okay.
Tyrell Williams or Mr. Jamison Crowder?
That's not super tough for me now that DeSean Jackson's back and seems healthy. I'm going Tyrell Williams. A couple weeks ago, without knowing what DeSean Jackson was going to do, I might have given Crowder the edge. I'm going Williams. Give me somebody harder.
That's what she said. We need to have a drop for, like, that's what she said.
We're going to get sued by...
That's what she said! By who? That's not, like, a trademark statement.
Who's going to be saying it? That's who we're going to get sued by.
All right, fine. I'll say it.
Okay, thanks.
It's not his. Like, he doesn't own. That's what she said.
I know that. That's good.
All right.
We're safe.
So remember when we argued Steve Smith, Kamar Aiken preseason?
Yep.
Yeah. So Mike Wallace or Tyrell
I'm going Tyrell Williams still.
Yeah. Let's go a little higher. Okay. Larry Fitzgerald or Tyrell Williams rest of season.
That's getting a little tougher. I think I'm going Fitzgerald. No. I'm going Williams. I'm going Williams. Not by much, though.
Okay. Last two.
Okay.
The Denver wide receivers or Tyrell Williams.
I really, really like Sanders. Let me look at Sanders' schedule really quick because I'm not sure what it is. Okay, so Broncos have middle of the road matchups against wide receivers. Man, this is a tough one. I think I'm going Sanders. I'm not comfortable with it though.
Sanders over Williams and Williams over Thomas?
Yeah.
I'll go Williams over both.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, I don't hate you for it. It's close for me.
All right.
Hold on, I got one for you because I think this is way closer than it needs to be. Either the New York Jets receivers or Tyrell Williams.
Williams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not that close for me.
Well, the Jets have a great schedule coming up, too.
Yeah, but so the Chargers, like we just said.
I don't know. I'm kind of high on...
Potness?
I gave you that pause. Quincy Nunua for rest of the season. Just FYI. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick.
We are terrible with names today.
It's just too late for me. I'm in the central time zone and I'm not feeling it. Sorry. The names are jumbled. It might be all the drugs. I don't know.
Okay. Like what kind of drugs?
I don't know. I'm lying.
I'm high on that NyQuil right now. Like, what?
Just some of the guys.
Speaking of the Central Time Zone, man, Chicago Deep Dish Pizza is amazing.
It's okay. I wasn't impressed.
Which one do you have?
What do you mean, which one?
Like, where did you go?
I went to the same place.
Did you go to Giordano's?
Yeah, the same.
Yeah. Luminati's is better, FYI. Is it? People tell me Giordano's is better. Luminati's is better.
Okay.
Also, don't get plain cheese. Don't be that guy.
No, no.
You want some toppings in there.
Yeah, yeah, like sausage.
That's exactly it. You got to get the Italian sausage
in your
deep dish somehow or another.
For sure.
All right?
Yep.
Really,
really quick. If you weren't already in love with them, just FYI.
So what kind of pizza do you like more then?
Allen Robinson has the worst schedule for wide receivers. A horrible, horrible schedule remaining. If you think he's going to pick it up, he's like swimming against the stream here.
This is a lost year for Allen Robinson. He'll finish the year as a top 30 wide receiver. He'll be better next year, but this is last year was everything that could go well for him. This year was everything that could go bad. Next year will be something in between.
Yeah.
But if you're don't rely on Allen Robinson in your playoffs. Just don't do it.
Nope.
Go pick up Tyrell Williams if he's available. He's not available in your league. That's a stupid statement. He is available in a lot of leagues though.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yep. By the way, T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief have Houston and Minnesota the first two rounds of the playoffs. They have a pretty good Super Bowl matchup against Oakland, but man, it's gonna be tough getting to the Super Bowl with Houston and Minnesota in the way.
Okay.
That's really who I want to talk about with wide receivers here.
Okay. All right. I'll give you one guy that I'm gonna keep an eye out on for the fantasy playoffs. Actually, not keep an eye out on, that I like a lot for the fantasy playoffs, but you're probably starting him either way.
Okay.
And that's Tyler Eifert.
Yeah.
For the same reason that I like Jeremy Hill.
Yep.
Schedule plus opportunity.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
So if somehow, some way, you've finessed your way into being a Tyler Eifert owner, I very much like him for the fantasy playoffs. Again, he plays Cleveland, Pittsburgh. Houston is not a great matchup. That's not a good one against fantasy tight ends. So if you have somebody better for your championship, maybe. Or you just roll the dice with your stud and see how that plays out.
Right.
So how do you feel?
Yeah, I like Eifert. I think you're kind of hedging your bets here. You have to pick. You're at the 4-yard line, second and goal. Are you picking Jeremy Hill or Tyler Eifert here?
4-yard line?
Mm-hmm.
Eifert.
Okay.
Damn it. That's really close.
I don't know.
Just pick 4-yard line.
I don't know.
Inside the 3, give me Hill.
I mean, you're talking about opportunity and, the opportunity Jeremy Hill is going to have. Eifert is a ball hog.
I can't like both. I can't think Cincinnati's better than their record.
They're both, I think it's unlikely. The way they've been scoring, it's unlikely they're both going to score. Not impossible, what? Obviously. It's unlikely.
I say they both score against Cleveland Browns.
Okay, you picked that one matchup. I bet you they don't score. I bet you they both don't score multiple times week 13 through 16.
What?
Nah, it's too complicated. Never mind.
That is way too complicated. And also, I don't take that bet. I say they have at least 4 total touchdowns in the 3 weeks.
Give me 5 and I'll do it.
Nope.
Come on. I budged on yours.
Nope. 5 is a push.
Or no, 5 it's not I worth win. It for me.
Because
no,
if it's 5 I win, I'll do it.
4.5.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
I'm not that confident in it. I think Jeremy Hill will be fine without touchdowns, and that's never been something that you could say in his career.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I like Hill.
The Bengals are better than their fucking 3-7-1 record, right?
They are, 100%.
Okay. I don't think they're that terrible of a team. Also, they beat the Dolphins in their best, most dominating win, and that just makes me sad.
Yeah. You want to talk about...
the Dolphins?
No.
They're 7-4. If the playoffs ended right now, they'd be in, baby. Yeah!
The most interesting conference is AFC South. Houston, Tennessee, and Indianapolis and Jags aren't
just
very
say,
interesting.
Just say Indy or the Colts. That way you don't get tied up.
Shut up. Houston, Tennessee, and Indy. Okay. Who's winning that division?
We made a bet on this, Dale. And I'm not feeling great about my bet. Mostly because Scott Tolzien was a starter this past week for the Colts.
Yeah.
In a loss.
Yeah, he fucked it up for
but
you.
But I bet on the Colts early on. You bet on the Titans. Armando bet on the Texans, who are probably still the slight favorite. And Richard bet on the Jaguars.
You bet on the wrong team there.
You bet on the Jaguars. Come on, man. Blake Bortles is going to get you to the playoffs. But I will say this. I actually don't think it's going to be the Texans. They have one of the worst home road splits. They're 5-1 at home, but 1-4 on the road. And 3 out of their 5 last games are on the road, 2 of them against the Titans and the Colts.
Yep.
So I think they're going to lose both of those games and give over the division to either the Titans or the Colts. As long as I don't give my money to Armando, I'm okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I bet on the Titans. Luckily, they kind of heated up here in the last few weeks. And I'm feeling good about the Titans. I am in Nashville now recording. Walked past their stadium today. Beautiful stadium, too. It's pretty nice.
Right.
I like them. I like them.
I have a serious question. I wonder if we should ask this before we wrap up the show.
Sure.
It's in reference to Armando.
Okay, what?
No, we'll do it. We'll do it when we're going to wrap up. Actually, okay. Let's wrap up the show. I kind of want to say it now, man.
All right. What you got?
All right. So if you want to follow our show, you can follow us at EatSleepFF on Twitter. You can find Dale at Dale_Fantasy. You can find me at CBritoFantasy. You can ask any of your questions there on Twitter, or if you feel like it, you can go to our website, EatSleepFantasy.com or EatSleepFantasy.com/questions. You'll find our articles there, whatever else you want to have there. Anything you want to add, Dale?
No. I think you covered it, man.
All right. So my question for you, did you invite Armando to record?
Yes, I did. And about 20 minutes later, he said, I just got this text. Are you recording? He did it on purpose. He waited like 20 minutes and got back to me, so he didn't have to.
All right. It felt strange because Armando's been like consistent yeah, as no, of late. So.
No, you know, I mean, we all do that. Like you ignore the text for like 20 minutes, you know, to act like you didn't see it. And then you say, oh, sorry, I just got this. And you know it's too late already.
I don't do that.
Yes, you do. You've done it to me, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure I have not.
Yeah, I know you have for sure. It's okay. My feelings aren't hurt.
No, I actually just don't check my phone sometimes. Okay. I'm not Richard that straight up will leave you ignored for 2 months until he clinches the playoffs.
For Christian Brito, I am Dale. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
In the famous words of Matthew Berry, peace out!
I'm in my zone, no lie. And we like to play till the sun go down. Yeah, we like to play till the sun go down. Then we take that down, then we take that down. I'm in my zone, no lie. And we like to play till the sun go down.